This is episode number 48 with Marco Lanave. Welcome to Your Inside Track to Success. I'm your host, Stuart Cranes, and we are here each and every week to support you in creating the life of your dreams. Each week, we have a guest or a message designed to support you in up-leveling your life, your dreams, and giving you the tools necessary to support you in getting there. Without further ado, let's start the show. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Super excited to introduce today's guest. Before I go ahead and do that, please be sure to like, subscribe, give this a 5-star review, particularly if you're catching this on Spotify. It just helps these conversations become more relevant in the search function of all the platforms that you could be listening to this. Want to get right into it. Today's guest is somebody that I've known for a decade now, which is really crazy to say out loud, but he and I worked together way back in the day at the Quad Cities River Bandits, which is a minor league baseball team in the state of Iowa. He is currently the play-by-play broadcaster for the Aqueducts here in Ohio and is also a sports anchor for WTAM 1100 in Cleveland. Wanted to welcome on the show, Marco Lanave. Marco, thank you for being here, sir.
Hey, Stu. Great to catch up with you. And thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to chatting with you today. And thank you all for listening.
I wanted to ask you to kick off the conversation this way. I've heard it a couple times, but I think there's a lot of power and value in the story of how you began working in baseball versus where you started in your collegiate studies.
Starting work in baseball goes back to childhood, and I think it does for a lot of people that get into baseball professionally, whether that's as a player or that's working as an executive or maybe as a broadcaster or a blend of some of those. When I was a kid, there was a summer collegiate baseball team called the St. Cloud River Bats in St. Cloud, Minnesota. They're now known as the St. Cloud Rocks, but in my childhood, they were the River Bats. And it was so much fun. There was fun promotions, much like you'd see minor league baseball, summer college league baseball, opportunities to get close to the players and the coaches and get to know the team for that summer. I and my family would go to games. I also had the unique opportunity. This was some excellent foreshadowing when I was 11 years old, got my name entered. It was a contest, one of these where you could enter names for kids or even adults to join the radio broadcast for an inning. Well, I was lucky enough, blessed enough to have my name selected at age 11. And I was put in the broadcast booth with two other veteran broadcasters at the time. And they did a wonderful job bantering with me and drawing me out as an 11-year-old kid. And that certainly stuck with me. And I said on that broadcast, I have, you know, a cassette tape of that from a long time ago. They asked me, have you considered broadcasting as a career? And I said, of course, after my professional playing days are over. And I never had professional playing days. So so I kind of jumped into the broadcast. Was fortunate in high school that got a couple of opportunities to even just do some public address announcing for our high school games and tournaments, and played on the baseball team. Was fortunate, blessed to be part of a state championship team in 2007 with Cathedral High School in St. Cloud, Minnesota. And I was one of the last on the bench for sure there, but part of the team. And from there, went to college at the University of Minnesota, where I was certainly not good enough to play on the varsity team. I played a little bit of club baseball, and that was only the first 2 years. But great opportunities there to work for the student radio station at the University of Minnesota, the student newspaper, and get that journalism experience refined for myself. I studied journalism only a little bit in the classroom. Most of it was outside of the classroom, but a little bit inside the classroom. My academic major was actually chemistry. I was good at math and science, and I pursued that and ended up with a chemistry major, was my graduating degree at the University of Minnesota, but also tried to blend that with some communication, did a science writing internship in Princeton, New Jersey before my senior year. And actually my first two summers of college, I, in a very full circle opportunity, went back home for the summers and had some good encouraging folks say, hey, you should just call up the River Bats and see if they, you know, could take some help on the broadcast or anything else. So my first 2 years out of summers out of college, I got to broadcast with that same River Bats organization, that same club, during that summer college league season. And by the time I was finishing up college, had enough on my resume and wanted to get into baseball. I was in the Twin Cities and applied for a broadcast internship with the Minnesota Twins. Again, a great blessing to have that opportunity to be interviewed, made it through the rounds, and was ultimately selected as one of the interns that year. And just an amazing experience. And it got me hooked. If you couldn't tell already, I had definitely been hooked by the sport and cast a wide net applying for minor league jobs in broadcasting, really, and media relations across the country after that internship with the Twins, and was fortunate to be interviewed and chosen as an intern in the Quad Cities, where you and I met, Stu. And that was kind of the launching of the minor league baseball path that got me in, but started from a young age and many people supporting along the way just to get a chance in the industry. So feel very fortunate and grateful.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And Marco, thank you so much for sharing your experience and kind of how you got to where you are. Something that comes up for me that I think is applicable to the listeners, regardless of if they're actually sports fans or not, you've had a dream, you've pursued it to the T, and you've had a lot of success. Yes, you have an incredible speaking voice, so maybe broadcasting was something you maybe were naturally talented at, but for anybody pursuing a goal or a dream over a long period of time, what are some of the things that maybe intangibly have supported you in sticking to something? Because I'm sure it wasn't a straight line up to where you are. I'm sure there have been some ups and downs along the way.
I would say for me, you know, primarily is an anchor of faith and reliance on God. I think a lot of people can sympathize with that, understand, you know, that, and that's, you know, that's where all good things come from. So that has so much to do with that. And that comes through, you know, what the blessings that I receive and also the people that surround me and support me and uplift me in various ways. So having that encouragement. So that would be first and foremost. Also having people and connecting with people who are supportive and encouraging. I think of the teachers I had certainly in school, you know, the other people in those settings, family who were very encouraging, parents who, you know, encouraged dreams and creativity and not putting really a limit on that. So I had a lot of, I think, fertile ground to have the freedom to explore, to dream in the first place, and to also, you know, have a sense of okay, who am I authentically, and how did God create me to be? I was fortunate in my high school years as a lot of us kind of find something about our identity within that time frame. My uncle was working on kind of a self-development awareness improvement program and really dove into just putting this program together. And for me, it prompted a lot of internal reflection, really a strong sense of who am I uniquely, in a way that didn't force me to fit any particular model or framework or that sort of thing. I was painting a picture of who I am and what energizes me, what I'm passionate about, what I'm gifted and talented at. I was able to shape and discover that for myself, you know, within myself, I think with the feedback from others, but ultimately it wasn't a story of trying to fit or find something that I was or someone that, oh, I want to be that person or I want to fit into that model. So that was, I think, a key foundation for me. And then just looking at opportunities in all of those areas. Hey, I have this interest, I have this ability, and it wasn't that I had to restrict myself to a certain combination. As I described, I studied math, science, chemistry. I was good at it, felt comfortable with that. Also had the interest in writing, communication, and improving that, working for student media, and connecting with a faith community of peers on campus at the University of Minnesota, the Catholic Student Newman Center and the St. Paul's Outreach Program there, both very impactful just for personal, spiritual, faith growth, and you know the virtues and values that I wanted to for myself as well and to share in. So I think from an early stage, not trying to fit an idea that was outside of myself, if that makes sense.
Oh, 100%. And actually, thank you for bringing that up, because I feel like in this day and age, particularly in a social media world, we have all of these pressures, different forces that are telling us who to be, how to act, what is acceptable, so to speak. And it actually takes a lot of courage to be who you are, to plant your flag on your own identity in an authentic way. And it sounds like you had the blessing of kind of figuring that out a bit earlier on than maybe some people do. I'm curious if you could speak into any examples of when maybe it was a combination of faith and courage, but when you had to choose yourself and choose your vision for what you wanted to create with your life anywhere along the road in your career.
One would be just some of the choices I made academically, activity-wise in college. And to start out, I did not declare a major my first year, but was doing math and sciences. I think I was thinking about physics for a major. And at the same time was wanting to do the student radio station and working with that. And, you know, at a large public institution, there's a risk that we can become just a number in a huge, you know, sea of students and, you know, lecture halls, that sort of thing. So while maybe I would get feedback from, you know, professors or advisors of, you know, kind of the question, or like, what are you doing here? You know, I felt like I was able to kind of stand my ground and feel comfortable with what I was doing, why I was doing it. And that was authentically me too. I think I declared a physics major, and then going into my junior year of college, over the summer, I just felt this sense of this doesn't feel right, of this physics major that I had declared. And yeah, just had, I guess, a moment of discernment or coming to more clarity and accepting that, yeah, I needed to make a change. And, you know, I didn't have to stick with that first choice that I made. So I went in, I think it was a week or two before classes started, and like changed my whole schedule. I said, hey, this is the path that I want to do, and switched over to chemistry. just because at that point I felt the, based on studying physics, it felt too much like it wasn't going to impact people, or I it didn't seem as applicable to me for really, you know, what was the benefit? How am I benefiting others with this? And chemistry seemed to be more that direction. So yeah, it was a, you know, switching all of those classes, pretty close to the start of the semester, but made it work. At the same time, I was launching into working for the student newspaper, which was, I think, 25 hours a week, something like that. A very substantial paying job, covering the football team and the men's basketball team for a Division I school, which was very involved. And then I was living in a household with other Catholic men, and it was a very intentional household with, you know, prayer and community life. And I was doing that at the same time. And I think anybody outside might have said, hey, that seems, you seem like you're doing a lot, or you're what, you know, does this all make sense? And to me inside, it very much did. And it was feeding these different parts of me that needed to be fed, for sure. And another instance I would point to was then in my senior year, and still trying to juggle a lot of things. And it was to the point that I just was not healthy, not enough sleep, and just had the revelation. And I would say it was God really, you know, kind of opening up my eyes to, okay, you are not the star here. You're not the can do it all. And the only time academically that I dropped a class was just getting that recognition of, hey, I've got limits, and I didn't need to follow through on this, you know, particular class. So I dropped one midway through the semester, and that was just a real turning point. I had a lot of encouragement and support from the other men that I was living with in community, and it just was more of a really returning to health for me, calming some anxieties, forming a much deeper prayer life. And it was a couple months after that I actually got the twins internship too. So there was a lot of turnaround there as well, at a pretty key point, you know, late in my college career, of just being encouraged and supported by others. And I credit, I think, a lot of others who were supportive, encouraging, praying on my behalf, that God was kind of able to break in and turn me in a better direction.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that. And something that comes up, at least in my life, and I know for a lot of the folks that listen to this show, is striking that balance between doing the work necessary to pursue one's goals and dreams, and not burning themselves out, not overdoing it, actually being in a place of, I don't want to say rest, but being in a place where they are not burning themselves out so badly that they can't get up and continue to do it, do the work. And you're obviously in a role that wasn't just handed to you. I'm sure people are lining up out the door to be a play-by-play broadcaster of anything, let alone a affiliated minor league baseball team. What supports you in striking that balance currently between doing the work, showing up, and being a high quality contributor at what you do, and also creating a sense of balance in your life?
Faith is really an anchor for me on that. And now my wife, Angelina, of a little over 2 years now that we've been married, I have to give her a lot of credit also for knowing me quite well, in terms of, you know, what I need, and being able to point out to me, hey, something's off, or, you know, something's out of balance, that she's able to observe too. Yeah. It's definitely hard to accept our limits, so to speak. And I think I'm still working at that balance, honestly. But starting to recognize where does my identity really come from? And that comes from, the faith. I will say that I have my prayer life has its good times and its, you know, and its weak times for sure. But having that foundation, I also, I visit with a spiritual director. I visit with a counselor, mental health. And I think those type of voices also keep me on track, from going too far off in one direction in my own mind, you know, an unhealthy, you know, pressure on myself. So I would say those voices for sure, you know, help me with balance. And also, I think experience is also a real teacher for me. I've moved from Minnesota to Davenport, Iowa, the Quad Cities, like we mentioned before, from Iowa to Jacksonville, Florida, from Jacksonville, Florida to Akron, Ohio, and kind of repeated each time, not really knowing anyone in these towns. And that experience is one that I've, you know, done a few times over. And with the later ones, I feel like the last two, I started living on my own in those cities, Jacksonville and Akron. And that can be a kind of a frightening experience, but knowing what has worked in the past and trusting that if I'm, you know, kind of following the same approach and being patient with, hey, this is going to take time to meet people, to feel comfortable, to get acquainted, I could just trust that, hey, I've been here before. And then recently, probably within the last 5-6 years, more sense of my own physical limitations too. Now it was almost 7 years ago, I was starting to have issues with my ear that was really bothering me. To make a long story short, I now have hearing loss in my left ear, and also occasionally will have like vertigo attacks that affect balance. And I mean, I'm like inhibited by those, you know, at times.
Oh, wow.
Maybe once or twice a year it will occur. So, and very discouraging, I would say, to at before 30 years old have some kind of hearing loss and or some, you know, balance sensitivity. I'll share a story. It was embarrassing. It actually got into a broadcast situation. I was calling a game solo, didn't feel well. I got sick on the air.
Oh, wow.
On a radio broadcast.
Oh, no.
And somebody had to come in. We had to scramble, and our assistant general manager had to come in and call the rest of the game. So very humbling experiences to sort of encounter some limitations of myself, too. So those, I think, were definitely teachers of you need balance. You're not a machine.
So I feel like faith has been a pretty clear through line through this conversation, which I think is a very wonderful thing. I'm curious, how does faith anchor you in that sense of humility while, kind of like we've been talking about, support you, lift you up in pursuing, you know, putting on, in your case, the best play-by-play broadcast that you can?
In regard to, you know, those experiences of yeah, humility, I would say the, you know, reading scripture, you know, I'm Catholic and really find a lot of peace and joy from being part of the Catholic Mass weekly, if not more so. And it's just I think the Christian faith has a way of, when you immerse yourself in the rituals, in the teachings, in the readings, it just has a way of kind of reordering your thinking also and perspective. I listened to a priest recently, Father Mike Schmitz, whom I really enjoy listening to his homilies that are podcasted. he talked about the main feeling, like we can often feel like we're the main character in our story, and that's not really the case. That God is really the main character. So that's much easier said than done, but even accepting that in small ways can bring assurance to and some, you know, calm and peace to a situation where it feels like, hey, I'm really limited here. I would say one of the most humbling experience, but really joyful experiences is the story of how I met my wife. When I was in my first year in Akron, I was involved with a group called Young Catholic Professionals. They had a mentorship program that paired me with the public address announcer for the Cleveland then Indians, now Guardians, who was, shared my Catholic faith, also my, you know, affinity and interest in broadcasting. Well, he had connections that he pointed me to a writer for the local diocesan magazine, Catholic magazine. And I was interviewed by this writer. She put together a piece, you know, profiling me professionally and personally. And that came out in the local magazine. Well, about 2 weeks after that came out, I got an email to, I'd had some people reaching out, you know, social media and that sort of thing. Well, this one was an email, and it was from, you know, someone I had never met before, and extremely well written. And it was a woman who, you know, shared, you know, love of the Catholic faith, interest in baseball, and in a native of the Akron area. And my, you know, experience taught me, you know, hey, meeting, connecting with other people, very, very open to that. But it wasn't until our email exchange, you know, further went on that I actually realized, oh, she's interested in maybe a dating relationship, or, you know, or a romantic relationship. But that was, you know, God kind of hitting me between the eyes there. It was nice and direct for me, who needs a little bit of direct. And so we arranged to meet at at one of our games, one of our team's games. And during the time that I have to go visit clients, so I could easily fit that in. And it was kind of a home turf for me on, hey, I don't know who this person is. but we had a wonderful conversation, and I felt like, okay, well, that wasn't quite a full fair shake on getting to know me. So, we had a few more dates after that baseball season. And then the next year, actually going into the season, was when the pandemic hit, and, baseball, sports, yeah, everything was put on hold.
Oh yeah.
And really gave us, you know, an opportunity to spend, you know, much more time together, enjoy the simple things of life that we, you know, maybe all learned to appreciate at that time. I was fortunate that the team here, unique, I would say, in the baseball industry, kept all of its front office employees fully paid all the way through. Which was an incredible blessing. And so I didn't have that stress and anxiety at that time too.
Yeah.
So we ended up, you know, dating further. I got to meet her family and she mine with a trip that year to Minnesota together. And we were kind of, you know, we were being careful about, you know, going out and, you know, being in a lot of social settings, that sort of thing, as many people were, but we really got to know each other and we're very blessed with kind of this, you know, time that was just given to us, and got engaged later that year and married the next year in 21. And, I mean, so clear to both of us that this was God at work, you know, bringing us together. There's no question about that, which is very, very humbling to see that this wasn't you know, this wasn't our own doing, or, you know, by our own strength or power or imagination or that sort of thing. It's just awesome. What you know, God has brought together for us and our life. And we have our joys and challenges like anybody, but it is really a blessing to look back on kind of how our story began and be like, hey, God's at the root of all of this and brought us together. So, and we're still discovering what that, you know, what that meaning and that purpose is, but very humbling to know that's the truth of our story.
I love it. And thank you for sharing some of the ways that God has been playing an active hand in your life, Marco. Question I would love for you to give your opinion on is, oftentimes people feel like they have a need. You know, they might pray. They're looking for a blessing, looking for a sign about maybe where they should go next. Sometimes I find that maybe God is giving us signs and maybe we're just not in a place where we're recognizing them or receiving them. You just chronicled some of the pretty obvious major signs and blessings that God has given you in the last few years. But generally speaking, what do you feel like people can do? Is it a level of perception? Is it getting grounded in their faith? How can they recognize the signs and the blessings that God is providing as they're coming up in real time?
One exercise that I found very helpful in college, this was when I was with the group of Catholic men living together. The chance to pray together, I think, was very impactful. Again, that gives us an awareness of, hey, we are part of a community that's turning itself toward God, each of us individually, but collectively as well. So I would say the opportunity to connect with community, to worship with community, whatever form that may take, I think is just, it's how we're designed, created. We're just meant for that. And I think finding that I am meant to worship God and to turn myself to God, I think is so key. And another practice that friend and I did, he was in the household with me, is, you know, we would find ourselves discouraged, stressed, that sort of thing with, you know, what life had for us at that point. And we started to just hold each other accountable for gratitude. And we would text or email each other back and forth. We did this for maybe a year or two. We would email back and forth at the end of each day, 10 things in that day that we were grateful for.
I love that.
And it was a really great exercise for, I mean, you could say, hey, I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for my wife, my family, my job. But then it was like, okay, we're doing 10 new things each day. And what started to happen is I would be looking for, okay, I could reflect back on the day and look for where are those just small things to be grateful for. Hey, this person at work, you know, was looking out for me and thought of me and helped me set up this, you know, connection with this client. Grateful for that. Grateful for being able to connect with someone like yourself, Stu. Hey, there's this guy that we worked together 10 years ago, and wow, what gratitude I can have for, you know, hearing where he's at in his life and hearing that he's blessed. Grateful for you know, the great meal that I, you know, somebody cooked for me. Grateful for you know, that I felt healthy, you know, and rested enough and could work out, you know, today. So maybe some very ordinary things, but over time those would build up and we would recognize more and more, you know, during the day, We were just training ourselves to recognize the blessings that happened and that are happening too. Which I mean was you know, very uplifting, you know, cultivated such a positive look. even if it was a rough day, you know, we would talk about, you know, maybe something rough that happened, and we would be like, okay, what's the positive here? You know, hey, I messed this up, but you know, I've got somebody who's you know, supporting me. Or hey, this is a learning opportunity where this is the lesson that I learned from that. So yeah, I would say the practice, the habit of doing that over time really built a perspective of being aware of, yeah, I would say some things that are maybe happening that we don't maybe pay as much attention to unless we're being mindful of it.
Yeah. And that was so eloquently put. I'm so grateful that you shared all that. And folks, Marco and I are both, you know, men of the Christian faith, but this is honestly applicable to anybody, regardless of your background, regardless of what your beliefs are. A practice of gratitude can only benefit you, not only in helping you identify the blessings that are actually there in your life, but I find when my gratitude practice is on point, it actually helps me overcome the hurdles and the obstacles with a much more grace, much more ease, and honestly, with a lot less stress. This is actually something my wife and I do as we're winding down for bed every night. We acknowledge each other and we acknowledge ourselves. And it's been a beautiful, beautiful practice that we got from some mentors of ours, and even in the people we coach, we suggested it to them as well. And so I'm super stoked that you hit on that. I would love to hear, Marco, as we begin to kind of wind this down, other than God, of course, other than your wife Angelina, who is the person, or maybe like a couple of people that you feel like you wouldn't be where you are currently without their guidance, their advice? And maybe what was that advice? And if you could share it with the listeners.
One that I'll mention that yeah, you would also know, Stu, is one of our colleagues from Quad Cities. She was my colleague for a few years in Jacksonville as well. Andrea Williams.
Yes.
Or as people in the baseball world affectionately know her as A-Dub. Yes. And we got to work with her in the Quad Cities. She was there for my first 2 years in the Quad Cities. And then she left, worked in the WNBA, and then got hired by the new ownership in Jacksonville, Florida. And it was after my fourth year in the Quad Cities that we reconnected, and we had kept in touch, you know, and she reached out and told me that she had gotten hired by this baseball team in Jacksonville, hired by someone that had also been a colleague briefly as well. Harold Craw was hired as the general manager in Jacksonville. And she was telling me about this new team that was being put together. And she said, hey, you should give Harold a call. And she's, you know, the type of person that she was good about being, you know, direct with me and encouraging me. I think of her as, you know, kind of like a big sister watching out for me.
Yeah.
And being able to, you know, trust her, hey, I'm going to reach out. I, you know, had conversations with Harold, went to visit Jacksonville as well, you know, got to be there with A-Dub. And she also, you know, with a strong faith and just a wonderful, wonderful heart as well. She was the community relations director for the team in Jacksonville, and really built something amazing with how the Jacksonville now Jumbo Shrimp, their, you know, community relations department, their involvement, connecting with, you know, the schools there, finding kids who just needed to be given an opportunity to be exposed to the sports industry. You know, she was setting up opportunities, you know, for me to mentor, tutor, you know, apply my gifts, that sort of thing. But even from a practical perspective, I got to Jacksonville and she was able to give me some, you know, coaching and, you know, about where to live and keep myself safe. So it was like sister looking out for me. And then truthfully, she was someone that I could lean on also when I went to Akron. And I think she was disappointed to, you know, that we couldn't work together still, but very encouraging of me, and we kept in touch. And then when I started dating Angelina, she was also there to give me the big sister advice then on on success and direction in that realm. And you know, she's a woman of prayer, a woman of service, a woman of you know, positivity, and you know, she's now a mother and wife as well, and she's now out of baseball, but just an amazing impact. And yeah, I have to give her definitely some credit for for where I am today. That would be one of them. Another one that I would say is a young man that I met in college. He was my age actually, and I met him through St. Paul's Outreach. He was at the University of St. Thomas and myself at the University of Minnesota in the Twin Cities. I mean, I knew him a little bit from, you know, different interactions we would have with they would have like formation nights, men's nights, that sort of thing. When we both were graduating college back in 2011, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in his stomach.
Oh, wow.
And this was the Joe Hall. It was, you know, myself and some, you know, some other folks, you know, heard about it. And it was, you know, quite a shock to realize, hey, this is someone that's my age, you know, the same. I mean, he loved, you know, loved sports, loved the Catholic faith, loved baseball, all of that. And here was this diagnosis, this illness, this battle that, you know, he was, you know, in for that, yeah, leaves a lot of questions of like, you know, yeah, why would someone, you know, that's has so much, you know, life and such a heart for generosity and goodness, you know, be, you know, kind of be dealt this challenge in life. And I remember that you know, I would say our relationship actually grew more in that time after college. I visited him at his home. He was, you know, undergoing treatments and things. And I remember watching game 7 of the 2011 World Series with him at his home and kind of sharing in the, you know, the joy of baseball together. Mm-hmm. So here I had this peer who so many, you know, similar interests, passions, and a strong faith, but very different realities that, you know, we had to, you know, we were encountering. And I would try to, you know, connect with him when I went back to Minnesota. He still, you know, stayed very active. He, you know, was undergoing the treatments and still was like leading the helping lead the youth group as part of the community that he was there with there, you know, still keeping, you know, the amazing faith and spirit that you know, that was him, and joy that he had. He ended up passing away in 2015. So he lived for almost 4 years after the diagnosis of cancer.
Wow.
And Yeah, I just I often think of him, you know, and getting to interact with him and hearing just the, you know, the perspective that he had, even maybe in that last year or so, of, you know, what was, you know, what was really important, what was really valuable, what, yeah, I think impacts anyone to yeah. see almost like see yourself, you know, in so many ways, you know, a peer go through that was very impactful. So he's one, you know, I think of him and ask him to pray for me, certainly. And I, in one of the years that we were in the Quad Cities, I think it was my last year, they did a jersey that had, it was like a cancer awareness night, and you could submit pictures of cancer, you know, patients, survivors, you know, those currently battling cancer. And so I reached out to his family, got his picture included among those in the number. And then I brought sure. back one of those jerseys to his family. It would have been later the year that he did die, because I wasn't able to make it to the funeral with the baseball season. But it meant a lot to me to just be able to give that to his family. And here they had something for me too. They gave me a Homer hanky, which is kind of the rally towel that the Minnesota Twins have. Homer hanky from the Minnesota Twins that had belonged to Joe was in his room, you know, since he was a kid. Well, it was from the first Twins team to make the playoffs that he and I would have remembered as kids. And yeah. I still have that in my car. And just a reminder of him and yeah, that he's also, you know, he's watching out for me and rooting for me and you know, taking delight in the experiences that I have, and also there to give me encouragement and me and a lot of others. I mean, I'm only one of the, you know, many people in his life, but certainly one that he's had an impact for me and mine.
Yeah. Wow. Marco, thank you for sharing that. I definitely felt that on a very deep level. And, you know, I'm sure he's definitely watching over you and everything that you're up to. And, you know, I sincerely wish we had more time. I feel like we could keep this conversation going a while. Something that I ask everybody, though, on our way out, as we conclude these episodes, Marco, what are you acknowledging yourself for today?
I think we've done some of it in just telling the story, Stu, of I would acknowledge myself for recognizing that I'm just part of a larger story of what's really happening. Yeah. You know, I'm God's the main character, as we talked about, and it's something that I'm, you know, reading and reflecting on, you know, recently. Yeah, just having this conversation, you know, allowed me to speak more to how that story has unfolded so far. And it's funny to say, but sometimes we don't look enough at our past and our story and say, hey, look at the track record here of what I can do, what others have done, what God's doing. And to be able to trust in that and not put it all on my own shoulders. So I would say this conversation helps reinforce that for me, Stu. So I'm grateful.
Yeah. Well, I got a lot out of this conversation today, Marco, and I know the listeners will as well. And folks, for those of you listening, this has been another episode of Your Inside Track to Success. We will see you next week.